Now, WWLS, the sports animal, gives you an insider's look at Big 12 football. It's the Big 12 Two-Minute Drill with Craig Humphreys on WWLS, the sports animal.
Big 12 Two-Minute Drill on the animal. We take a quick trip around the conference. We start in Norman, Oklahoma. Start with Justin Martinez from the Oklahoman. Does a great job covering the Sooners. First of all, Justin, we appreciate your time this morning.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Happy to be on.
Well, it was OU Nebraska, and everyone was talking about the 50th anniversary of the 71 game, but it's almost like we went back 60 or 70 years to the 50s or 60s with that 7-3 halftime score, huh?
Yeah, low-scoring affair for sure. I just thought Nebraska did a really good job of, you know, taking away those big plays and forcing OU to kind of put together those long, methodical drives.
Well, and I know you wrote in the Sunday paper about the interception by DJ Graham, and it was a pick unlike any other that we've ever seen on that field, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, without a doubt. Just he's a former wide receiver, and you can definitely see why. He still has it. I think that kind of just came out on that play there where he just made just sensational grab there one-handed in order to really help secure that win.
That's right, because at that point, what, it's 23-9. There's still about 8.5 minutes left in the game. Fourth down and 18 from the 24-yard line. Quite a play there by Graham. I know a lot of Sooner fans, you know, worried about what's wrong with the offense and so forth. A lot of them obviously complaining about the quarterback, as they always do. What's your opinion on the play of Spencer Rattler so far?
Yeah, I just think that, you know, he still needs to kind of understand which risks are worth taking. He's had a couple of plays where he's really forced it. Just, you know, when it doesn't really need to happen. In this game, he didn't have any interceptions, but he still had a couple plays where very easily could have gotten picked off. I think he had a couple to Mario Williams where it was double, triple coverage even. He had the two interceptions against Tulane, so... You know, even though, like, the completion percentage looks good and stuff like that, I still think polishing his game a bit more, being a little bit more patient is still up to come for him.
So the 23 points, lowest total for the Sooners since September 3rd of 16 in that 33-23 loss to Houston. Bottom line is OU does get the victory, 23-16 over Nebraska. And now they move on to this week, and this week it's West Virginia coming to town. That game, a 6:30 game on ABC on Saturday night, and West Virginia had a big first half against Virginia Tech, led that game 24-7. Now Virginia Tech had a late rally in that one, but West Virginia held on for the victory. Give us some keys for the Sooners and a little preview of West Virginia.
Yeah, so I guess just starting off with West Virginia, Letty Brown had a really good game for them. Veteran running back, 161 rushing yards and a touchdown on 19 carries. Defensively, they've got a really good safety duo of Alonzo Adai and Sean Mahone, who both played really well against the Hokies. They've got linebackers like Jared Bartlett, who had 3 sacks against Virginia Tech. So this is a team that has weapons on both sides of the ball. I think offensively, the key for Oklahoma is just going to be able – So, one, hopefully their offensive line will hold up a little bit better. We're still waiting to see when Andrew Rain will take over this starting center spot, which hopefully will help with the offensive line. And then defensively, I think just getting some pressure on the interior. You know what you're going to get out of guys like Nick Benito and Isaiah Thomas on the edge. But looking for guys like Perrion Winfrey, Jalen Redmond to really put some pressure on the inside, I think that'll be big for the Sooners.
He is OU insider Justin Martinez from the Oklahoman. Justin, we appreciate your time.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you for having me.
All right, now let's head to West Virginia, bring in Kevin Kinder, BlueGoldNews.com. Covers the Mountaineers. The Mountaineers, as we said, coming off that big victory over Virginia Tech, 27-21 on Saturday. Kevin, good to talk to you again.
Craig, always good to join you all, getting ready to head out to Norman for this West Virginia-Oklahoma battle.
Like we said, that one coming up 6:30 Saturday night on ABC. But first, let's go back to last Saturday. Talk about that Virginia Tech game, because crazy game where West Virginia leads at 24-7 and a half and eventually had a 20-point lead, 27-7 lead, midway through the third quarter in that game, and then Virginia Tech made the furious comeback. But let's go back to the start and talk about how they built that big lead.
Well, you know, obviously it's a heated rivalry game, you know, so you expect some back and forth. West Virginia, as it has done times at times this year, had two or three really good offensive series. Struck for two early touchdowns quick, had the big 80-yard run from Letty Brown, hit a big pass for a touchdown, jumped out 14 to nothing. And then his defense kind of controlled the game through most of, you know, three quarters. Virginia Tech rallied, found a couple of things that, you know, it could bank on a little bit, started getting the ball out a little bit quicker. West Virginia had six sacks in the game, so, you know, they kind of went to a little bit quicker release, some shorter routes, getting the ball out a little better. Were able to rally, and West Virginia's offense hurt itself a lot with a fumble and an interception that set Virginia Tech up. So, you know, it's kind of a typical back-and-forth game that you expect when two heated rivals play each other.
Talking to Kevin Kinder, BlueGoldNews.com. Let's talk about this offense because at times they can be very potent. I know Jared Dagey threw a couple of touchdown passes in the game Saturday. You mentioned Letty Brown. He goes over 100 yards and had the touchdown. So talk about where the Mountaineers are offensively.
Still a little bit in search of an identity. Obviously, it wants to run the football. It got Mike O'Loughlin, its starting tight end, back in this game. I think he was a key in helping the run game get going. He's a really good blocker, and West Virginia could go two tight ends when it wanted to. Had a little, you know, had a few more options there. Threw the ball okay. Did not get the drops that have plagued it at times. But, you know, again, a couple bad decisions in the passing game hurt it late. So, you know, a little bit better. And obviously, anytime you get a win like this, just like you were talking about Oklahoma a couple minutes ago, that's a good thing. And you don't want to discount that, but still kind of searching for what this offense can be, what its identity is going to be this year.
Talking to Kevin Kinder about the West Virginia Mountaineers in their third year under Neil Brown, had the opening 30-24 loss at Maryland, had the big win over Virginia Tech that we're talking about. Let's talk about the Sooners now, and give me a few keys for the Mountaineers coming into Saturday night against OU, a few keys for West Virginia, and then what concerns you most about the Sooners?
Well, what concerns you most is everything. I mean, obviously it's defense. Sooners defense is playing really well, and I know there's been some concern about its offense. To me, that's a relative concern. Sooners have a ton of talent, obviously. I think West Virginia's keys are kind of what Nebraska did. Try to limit the big plays. Try to make Oklahoma drive the ball. Force mistakes. West Virginia's defense has been really good. They have found more players at safety in the back end and on the defensive line. They can rotate some people in, keep them fresh. So I think that's really important. They can't give up the big plays. If Oklahoma, you know, gets those two or three big plays for touchdowns, I don't think West Virginia can match that. So they have to somehow keep those off the board and find a way to get maybe one or two of their own.
Kevin, we always appreciate it. Thanks again for your time.
Always. Thanks a lot, Craig.
All right. Kevin Kinder, BlueGoldNews.com, covering the Mountaineers of West Virginia.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
Now let's head to Lubbock and bring in our man, Mr. Chris Slevel of RedRaiderSports.com, part of Rivals.com. Chris also does the radio sidelines for the Red Raiders. Chris, good to talk to you.
Greg, how are you on this lovely Tuesday morning?
Yeah, a little cooler here in this part of the country. That feels good. Chris, let's go back to Saturday, and, of course, the Red Raiders very impressive 54-21 victory over Florida International, and Let's start with Tyler Shuck. Throws for almost 400 yards in that one, right?
Yeah, you know, he probably did not have his best game the week before, so it was nice to see him. You know, he's trying to figure this thing out and who he's playing with and the new system. And I think Sonny Cumbie, the new offensive coordinator, is trying to figure out how to utilize Tyler. But Tyler really played well on Saturday, threw the ball to 11 different receivers, took a lot of deep shots down the field, avoided the turnovers. And so, yeah, fun to watch him kind of start to settle in and find a rhythm here.
Yeah, you mentioned all the different weapons that he has, and go over some of the key weapons for Texas Tech, rushing and receiving.
Well, Eric Izukama is the best. He's going to be one of the best wideouts in the Big 12. I think he came in the last weekend leading the country in receiving yards, and old Butch Davis, the FIU head coach, basically they had a corner right over him all game and then a safety right over the top of the corner. And they just basically said, not today, number 13, you're not going to. So that's kind of what led to a lot of just spreading the ball around. And so they just went to all the different, you know, you had Kalen Geiger who transferred here, Troy. There's some tight ends that got involved. Travis Coons is one of those super seniors. He had a couple of touchdowns. They've got a 6'8" tight end named Mason Tharp, who's a freshman that got a touchdown catch, you know. But there's a lot of variety, and then really without Sir Roderick Thompson, the first couple of weeks it's been Taj Brooks in the backfield. He's probably Tech's best running back right now. Sir Roderick saw his first action this past weekend as they start to kind of work him back into the mix. But Taj Brooks has been more than capable at that running back spot. So yeah, there's definitely some weapons here.
Talking to Chris Level, RedRaiderSports.com. And Tech, of course, has Texas coming up this weekend. That game in Austin, 11 o'clock on ABC on Saturday morning. And Tech 3-0 coming in their third year under Matt Wells. Taking on the Longhorns, give us some keys for Tech this weekend and what concerns you most about the Longhorns.
Well, obviously, you know, playing Texas, I think they're trying to figure out who they are too. I mean, is, you know, the Arkansas game for them was not, I don't think, what anybody expected, especially at the lines of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. You know, and they come back this next week and they beat up Rice, who hasn't played very good football this year, and they're trying to figure out the quarterback situation, and maybe it is going to be Casey Thompson long term. But you know, Texas Tech, you know, they've been really good stopping the run. Obviously, Bijan Robinson is going to be one of the best backs they see all year, if not the best. And Texas Tech's been holding teams to about 50 yards a game on the ground. Competition about to get a lot better and tougher, and that'll be the key, is kind of where that settles in at. But if you can limit, you know, some of those home run hits from a running game standpoint and limit some of that and see if Casey Thompson can beat you with the, you know, via the pass. I like your chances. But, you know, again, it's always tough to go down to Austin to win. You've done it twice. I think in the last four times you've been down there, you've won games. Cliff took two teams down there, and his teams came out with a win. So those were obviously pluses. And then you obviously can't turn it over, Craig. I mean, you know, against SFA, you just kept handing them the ball, and you're muffing a punt, and you're doing some different things. I don't care who you're playing. You give the other team the ball four or five extra times, and it's just not going to work out for you in most cases, and you certainly can't do that on the road. But it should be fun as Texas starts Big 12 play, and these Red Raiders, I think, are going to surprise some folks.
That's right. Tech 3-0 in the year in Austin, 11 o'clock Saturday morning. You can watch it on ABC. He is Chris Level, RedRaiderSports.com, part of the Rivals Network, also does the radio sidelines. Chris, we appreciate your time.
Thank you, sir.
Craig Humphreys here at Allison Insurance, joined now by Wyatt Thompson, voice of the K-State Wildcats. Wyatt, we appreciate your time this morning.
My pleasure, Craig. Good to be on with you. How are you, sir?
I'm doing just great, enjoying the cooler weather, and you got to be enjoying the way the Wildcats are playing. K-State off to the 3-0 start, including a big victory over Nevada over the weekend, and also including a big 21-0 fourth quarter, right, Wyatt?
Absolutely. It was a game that I think all K-State fans were concerned about, just because this was a very veteran Nevada team with a terrific quarterback in Carson Strong. They had lots of weapons, I think 10 returners back on defense. K-State was playing without their starting quarterback, so there were reasons to be concerned. And it was a tight game, Greg, as you know. You follow all of this. And it was 17-17, but K-State in the last 19 minutes really was the better team after Nevada kind of dominated in the early part of the third quarter. Terrific football game. And to win that one 38-17 felt awfully good.
Well, and Deuce Vaughn, again, 23 carries, 127 yards. He's been outstanding. But like you said, playing without Skylar Thompson, and Will Howard steps in. Talk about his play at quarterback.
Will did a really good job, I think. He did not play very well when Skylar went down the week before. But, you know, I almost give him a pass for that because it was such an emotional thing. You know, Sky missed a lot of last year with the injury. Will took over, but when he went down in this game, people were very concerned that it would be season-ending. Fortunately, it will not be. I don't think Skylar has any chance of playing this week, maybe for Oklahoma, but I think after that, it's a good chance. But here's the point. Will was 7 of 10 for 123 yards and a touchdown, managed the game very well. He didn't just take a step forward. He took several steps forward in my mind's eye. And Jaron Lewis, we saw him for the first time, a redshirt sophomore. So those quarterbacks, along with that running game, was enough to beat a pretty good Nevada team. We'll see how it goes this week, but that felt awfully good.
Well, and speaking of this week, K-State at OSU on Saturday night, 6 o'clock game. You can watch it on ESPN Plus. And it does get tougher. The schedule, you go to Stillwater this week, and then the week after, Oklahoma comes to Manhattan. And then there is an off week before Iowa State, but it's OSU, Oklahoma, and Iowa State next three games for the Wildcats. Talk about the Cowboys and give us some keys for K-State this week and also your concerns about OSU.
Well, I think the concern with OSU is just the series, at least in the last 10 or 11 years. You think about how many quality close games we've had. A lot of games that are 7 points or less either way. Even though OSU, I think, is 7-4 in the last 11, it's been a really fun series. So I think you start there. Yeah, Tylan Wallace is gone. Chuba Hubbard is gone. But this is a team that is well coached. And it's always so difficult to play in Stillwater. The fans will be in it. It's a night game, which always makes it very interesting from my perspective. And I'm anxious to see how K-State responds. They've done really well in the non-conference against a pretty good schedule, including a win against Stanford and Dallas, the game against Nevada, what have you. But again, these conference teams know each other so much better. And so for that, I'm looking forward to see how they respond. I think for K-State, especially with Skylar out, they've got to be able to establish the run again, but have some semblance of a pass game. They have been just okay so far in the returns, which is kind of where they hang their hat at times. They need something, I think, good in special teams, maybe even a couple of things. The real story for K-State, though, has been their defense, and I'm so anxious to see how they match up against OSU because they've been really good against the run. They've been pretty good against the pass, but this will be an awfully good test, too.
Well, K-State off to the great start. I mean, that beat Stanford in Arlington in the opener. Like you said, a Nevada team that came in favored against the Wildcats last week. K-State now 3-0 in their third year under Chris Klieman. Again, that game 6 o'clock in Stillwater on Saturday night. He is Wyatt Thompson, voice of the Wildcats, one of the class guys in the business. Wyatt, we always appreciate your time. Thanks again.
You're very kind, Craig. Great to be on with you, sir.
You bet. And let's close out the Big 12 two-minute drill by bringing in Scott Wright from the Oklahoman. You hear him with the Morning Animals, does a great job covering the Cowboys. Scott, we appreciate your time this morning.
Hey, absolutely, Craig.
Well, I talked about going back, you know, 60 or 70 years with that 7-3 first half that we had in Norman with OU Nebraska. Second half for OSU the other night in Boise, no score at all in the second half of that one. Cowboys hang on for the 21-20 victory, and it was a game that was just, especially the first half, one of the crazier first halves that you're ever going to see, right, Scott?
It really was. You know, Mike Gundy really summed it up when he said going in at halftime, he felt like they were down 20. He had to check the scoreboard to make sure that they were still ahead by one. Because it didn't feel like Oklahoma State had done anything well, and that, you know, they get a turnover, get a short field, got a pass interference call that kept a drive alive, and a big 75-yard touchdown run, and there they are, and they're 21-20 lead, and then, like you said, scoreless second half, which was weird because the second half felt much more productive than the first half, but no points on the board, so. Really an interesting game and a pretty crazy one, but impressive for the Cowboys to pull out the victory.
Well, then, as we talked about yesterday, Scott, the catch by Cale Kabanis to seal that game, I mean, a great story behind that catch, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the play itself was great, but then the story of a redshirt freshman walk-on that learned on Wednesday that he was going to make the traveling squad, and Oklahoma State normally travels 9 receivers. They only took 7 because so many guys are hurt, and then another one, Bryson Green, gets hurt during the game, and that leads to Kabanis being on the field for a lot more than he would have probably expected. So and then on the field for the biggest play of the game on a 3rd and long situation. When they needed a first down to ice the game, and they throw the fade route to him, and he makes a great play falling down and coming down with the ball and wrestling it away from the defender, and just an all around really cool moment.
And Scott, we talked in the preseason how this schedule ramps up for the Cowboys. Starting with Missouri State, and then the Tulsa game, and then this was a big test going to Boise last weekend. Cowboys are 3-0, and now they take on a K-State team that K-State has been really one of the surprises, not only in the conference, but in the country this year. So big test coming up at 6 o'clock on Saturday night in Stillwater.
Yeah, it is. I was really surprised to see the betting line being as favorable for Oklahoma State as it was, because this Kansas State team is playing really well. I think the game opened at 9 in some places, Cowboys favored by 9, and then it's moved toward the K-State direction a little bit, but still around a 7, I think, is what I've seen. So really interesting to see, because this is a really big game against a team that's playing really well. Even though K-State is without the quarterback Skylar Thompson, they've been really productive and taken on some good teams and played well.
Well, and looking at the Cowboys, I mean, now that we're through the first 3 games, let's start with the quarterback, Spencer Sanders. And I know you look at the numbers from the other night, and he only throws for 82 yards, only rushed for 26 yards. You would think, well, that's a horrible outing. But he did a lot of good things on Saturday night, right?
He did. The biggest thing that he did was not make you pay a lot of attention to him, because you weren't noticing the bad things that he has had been susceptible to doing. He had the interception against Tulsa that got returned for a touchdown. Nearly had a fumble in that game as well. Those mistakes weren't there. He was handling himself well. He wasn't making mistakes. And his passing numbers would have been a little bit better, but he had a couple of drops in the first half. They were 1 of 6 for 7 yards passing at halftime, which was pretty bizarre. But he rebounded and threw some really good throws in the second half, and converted some third downs when they really needed them. And like I said, didn't make mistakes. So an important game for him, and a good one, because they really needed him to be effective, and he was, and they're going to continue to need even more from him, probably more from him in the running game as they go forward. But he took a good step forward on Saturday for sure.
Well, the running game obviously going to be a key this weekend because K-State obviously has been running the football well. But the Cowboys also ran the football. I thought that was one of the stories of the night, was OSU running for 246 yards, holding Boise State to 61 on the ground. The defense has been a great story. They did pitch a shutout in the second half. But that OSU running game, also a big story coming out of Saturday night, right?
Absolutely. After the first 2 weeks, when they rushed for 194 yards against lesser opponents, total over 2 weeks, you know, the run game was a real concern going into Saturday against Boise. And they not only did they find the hot hand in Jalen Warren, but they found some blockers that were getting the job done. Hunter Woodard returned, and I think that really helped at right guard. He was one of their better linemen last year, and really stood out this season. So or on Saturday, so really important for him to be back. The offensive line blocked a lot better in the run game. They could have probably protected a little bit better than they did, but still. Overall, a really important step forward for them. And then, like I said, Jalen Warren looks like a guy who can be a difference maker at running back. And, you know, I think we heard all about this four-man backfield that they were going to have, and I think it's down to about one and a half now, thanks to Warren having such a successful weekend and some other guys not doing quite as much.
Yeah, Jalen Warren, 32 carries, 218 yards, and a couple of touchdowns on Saturday night against Boise State. Cowboys get the victory, 21-20. They have K-State coming up 6 o'clock on Saturday night in Stillwater. You can watch it on ESPN+. He is Scott Wright with the Oklahoman, does a great job covering the Cowboys. Scott, thanks again for your time.
You bet, Craig. Thank you.
All right, and also we want to thank Wyatt Thompson, voice of the K-State Wildcats, Chris Level of RedRaiderSports.com, Kevin Kinder of BlueGoldNews.com, and Justin Martinez from the Oklahoman covering the Sooners.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat, because that should be your next question, Richie, is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah. Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.